Good morning. God sets a table before us and anoints us with the oil of gladness. Our cup overflows. See Psalm 23:5, 45-7. Welcome to worship. My name is Chastity Jones, and I am a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community who shares God's love, builds bridges, and inspires spiritual transformation. We are a community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so we can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it to the ushers during passing of the peace. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Here are a few announcements. Are you or someone in your family graduating from high school and planning to attend a college, technical school, or community college? Scholarships for member youth up to $250 are available. An application can be picked up at the church office. The deadline to submit an application is May 15, 2026. The Congregational Care Team is looking for new volunteers to help support our church family through visits and phone calls. If you have a heart for listening and serving those in need, please contact Pastor Sana by email or calling the church office. Registration is open for Vacation Bible School, which takes place June 15th through the 18th. It's open to all children from preschool to sixth grade. You can register on our website. The May-June edition of The Upper Room is available in the book rack in the narthex. Take an extra copy to share. Pastor Sana invites Zion members to attend her service ordination, the Minnesota Conference of the United Church of Christ, on Sunday, May 24th at 3 p.m. at Living Table at the New Branches, Minneapolis. The May meeting of Ruth Circle will be on Tuesday, May 12th at noon for potluck lunch in the Fireside Room. Please bring a dish to share. All women of Zion who are interested are welcome to attend. Now let us prepare for worship.
A couple of years ago, while reading my Bible, I came across Psalm 23. Growing up as a son of parents in full-time ministry, this chapter was all too familiar to me. I could probably quote the entire thing from memory since I was 5 years old. Typically, when I've come across this psalm, I find myself skimming over the verses since I already knew it. What should have been a source of transformation and wonder now was predictable. But this time, however, I felt the Holy Spirit wake me up to the reality of what I was reading. The Lord is my shepherd. Something began to move in my heart in a fresh and powerful way. I began to think about the implications of Him truly being my shepherd and how that means that there is nothing I lack. This beautiful truth changes everything. It changes how I approach my relationships. Instead of needing something from another person, I can come ready to give because I have all I need in Him. It changes how I view my circumstances. Instead of me needing to control every outcome, I can release my grip and surrender in peace to the loving will of my shepherd. It changes how I view my burdens. Instead of needing to privately shoulder the weight that builds under the stress of life, I can follow His voice to green pastures, quiet waters, and a restored soul. It changes how I view even the darkness of the valley. Not only is the shepherd watching over me, He is in the valley with me. He is walking with me, guarding me, comforting me as we journey together. Psalm 23 is an invitation into a renewed idea of what it means for Jesus to be your shepherd, to trust He is leading you and has good plans, that His goodness and mercy are not only present, but they are pursuing you. May you believe and rest in the fact that He is with you even through the darkness of the valley. May you be satisfied in His love and acceptance. May your cup run over at the table. Let the reality of His presence set you free from fear, striving, and insecurity. He is your shepherd, and you have all you need in Him. Here are some questions to think about today. Number one, what does it mean that the Lord is your shepherd? How does that reality bring peace to your heart and mind? Number two, where are there moments in the midst of your own valleys that you can see God's presence near to you? Number three, at the end of Psalm 23, it gives us a picture of a banquet where our cups are running over and His goodness and mercy are pursuing us for all of eternity. How does this stir up your hope? How can this give you strength in the journey?
Good morning. Good morning. Nice to see you all. Peace be with you. Welcome to our hour of worship. My name is Sana del Corazon, and I am your pastor. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to welcome any guests we have today. Thank you for taking the chance and walking through our doors. We're glad you're joining us for worship. Please join us after service for coffee and refreshments. Now let's get ready for worship. Let us settle in our seats, take deep breaths, relax our shoulders, and bring an awareness to this space. Leave behind all your morning activities. And bring your hearts and mind to this space, to God, who is with us and eager to speak to us this morning.
Good morning. At the call to worship, we gather together in the presence of our Good Shepherd, who calls us each by name, who restores our souls, who leads us in the way of righteousness, and whose goodness and love never stops pursuing us.
God is our provider, our protector, and our salvation.
The Word of God is our bread. We are God's beloved children. We will worship God alone.
We will not fear.
This is our God. Let us worship together. Our opening hymn is My Shepherd is the Living God, number 247.
Please rise.
Thank you.
gracious God, who is shepherd, gate, and the way, we join together as a community in your presence and in your protection. Shield us from apathy and isolation. Fortify us against resignation and despair. Nudge us towards justice and righteousness in your name. As we gather to worship you, may we be transformed by your love, strengthened in grace, and rooted in faith for your glory and your kingdom come. Amen. Please join me in hymn, Yours is the Glory, Resurrected One, number 253. You may be seated. Join me in the prayer of confession. Shepherd of our lives, like sheep we wander and stray. We come to you for sustenance, yet distance ourselves from your presence when you require more from us. We bite one another with words that cut and attitudes that reflect more apathy than care. We lie down and become stuck when you want us to grow and change. We aren't always bold enough to protect the powerless because your ways are not easy or comfortable. Please forgive us. We give you thanks for continuing to lead us by your Spirit. Give us courage and confidence to do your will. We devote ourselves anew to your teachings, to community, to the sacramental life, and to prayer. Lead us in our resurrected life. Amen. beloved, the shepherd cares for you and rejoices whenever you turn back to God, follow God's holy way. Life in the promise of glorious and flourishing life and the kingdom of God manifested on earth. There is no detour you may take where the shepherd cannot find you and urge you back into their loving embrace. You are redeemed and restored in Christ. Receive the goodness of God, whose grace is sufficient and available for you to begin anew. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave you, and my peace I give you. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pass the peace with one another. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," and so we pray. Let us pray. Good shepherd, watch over us today in all we face and experience. Never leave us or forsake us. Journey with us always. Lord, in your mercy. Good shepherd, you know us as no one else knows us. Guard us and keep us as you guard and keep those whom you love. Lord, in your mercy. Good shepherd, we pray for the sick and the lonely. We pray healing prayers for Pat Lehner, for the anxious, for the bereaved, for those in pain. We stand with them and commend them to your care. Lord, in your mercy. Good shepherd, we pray for the caregivers in hospitals and homes, for all who serve those in need. May the example of living compassion inspire us in care for those in need. Lord, in your mercy. Good shepherd, we know the depths of your heart and the fears which are in ours. Speak into the depths of our heart and calm our fears. Lord, in your mercy. Good shepherd, you know us by our name, and you have not hidden from us. Gather us to yourself as a shepherd gathers the sheep, that we might know you. Lord, in your mercy. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is the 23rd Psalm, as written by Robert Alter, a David psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In grass meadows, God makes me lie down. By quiet waters, guides me. My life, God brings back. God leads me on pathways of justice for their name's sake. Though I walk in the veil of death's shadow, I fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, it is they that console me. You set out a table before me in the face of my foes. You moistened my head with oil. My cup overflows. Let but goodness and kindness pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for many long days. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. Amen.
I don't know if you're aware, the analogy of the cup or the metaphor of the cup overflowing, back in Jesus' day, people would know that your time, we needed you to go home when we stopped pouring in the cup, you know? So that's like to give the hint to people, okay, we're done hosting, go home. And so with the cup overflowing, it actually means that God wants to always be with us. God is not shooing us away. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. I wanted to share that. Our second reading for today is John 10, 1 to 21. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this commandment from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Let us pray. Oh, the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God, let these words be not my words, but your words. Use them in spite of me, and let them point always to Christ. Send your spirit that your people may hear your word in faith. Amen. So last week was the Good Shepherd Sunday, which is typically the fourth Sunday, but because I did 2 weeks of the Emmaus Road, let's just pretend we're on the fourth Sunday, even though we're in the fifth, okay? The fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday, and it's when we are reminded that Jesus is our Good Shepherd. But in the gospel reading assigned for today, which is just John 1 to 10, we did 1 to 21, Jesus says twice that he is the gate for his sheep before he says, I am the Good Shepherd. There are two of the most famous I am sayings that Jesus says. We find, and in there are seven I am sayings in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. And in today's reading, it begins with I am the gate, which I think is the least known and most unique I am statement. Many of the I am sayings of Jesus have obvious meanings, but today's I am saying is not as obvious, I think. I mean, what does it mean that Jesus is the gate for us, for his sheep? We should know that other translations say Jesus is the door instead of the gate. So what does it mean for Jesus to be both the gate and our shepherd? In Revelations, Jesus is described as the one standing at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. For anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and be with him. Revelations 3:20. In the Gospels, Jesus miraculously passes through the locked doors in order to find his disciples in the upper room. After the resurrections, the disciples have locked behind the doors, and Jesus miraculously comes through those doors to tell them not to be afraid and shows them his scars. He is raised from the dead, and he will be with them to the end of age. The function of the gate is to keep the sheep together in the sheepfold during the night, safe from thieves and predators. Shepherds lead their sheep to the sheepfold so that they move about freely and rest. During the day, the gate is open so that the sheep can go out following their shepherd to find pasture. This means the good shepherd also leads the sheep to places that are less safe. The gate and the shepherd work together for the well-being of the sheep, so the flock is able to thrive. Jesus says he is both the gate and the shepherd. He guards and protects his sheep from danger. He provides for their nourishment, for their life in abundance. I read some description of what a sheepfold would have been like in the time of Jesus. It's like this photo. You can imagine a kind of grassy area enclosed by stone wall, and on top of the wall are like thorns, basically a first century version of a barbed wired fence. The sheepfold might not have had a true gate, but the shepherd would have slept in the doorway, thus becoming the gate himself. It is important to note that the metaphor of the gate is not about exclusion. It's not a license to think of ourselves as Jesus' true sheep and others as outsiders. If we use it that way, we become like the Pharisees who expelled the blind man from the community in chapter 9, in John chapter 9. The purpose of the gate is not to keep out other sheep. Indeed, Jesus says in verse 16, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there is one flock and one shepherd. Rather, the purpose of the gate is to guard against all threats of the well-being of the sheep, against thieves, bandits, and wolves. Shepherding in ancient times was a demanding and intimate occupation. Shepherds lived with their sheep, leading them to pastures, protecting them from predators, and tending to their wounds. The shepherd knew her sheep intimately. When Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, he is emphasizing his commitment to his followers' well-being. He contracts himself from the hired hands who flee on the first sign of danger, underscoring his willingness to lay down his life for his sheep. This is how Jesus can say he is both the good shepherd for the sheep and the gate. He brings the sheep safety and sends the sheep out to the pasture. This image of the good shepherd is one who does not only keep the sheep safe inside, but the good shepherd also leads the sheep out to where they can have risk, where there is some danger. The good shepherd does both of these things, as the good shepherd still leads us today. As I contemplated this scripture, Jesus as both the gate and the good shepherd, I wondered if you, Zion Church, have felt abandoned by Jesus in this time of transition, especially in times when you haven't had a settled pastor. There have been lots of changes in pastoral leadership in the last 18 years compared to the previous 24 years when Pastor Bob Broder was leading the church. Just in the last 5 years, Zion has had at least 5 different intentional or unintentional short-term pastors, which includes me. And maybe you may be wondering, why has this been the case? Why do we find ourselves in this period of transition with expected and unexpected temporary leadership? Are we doing something wrong as a congregation? Or is this the current nature of pastoral leadership and congregational ministry? But more importantly, has Jesus left us to fend for ourselves in these, what it feels like, too long periods of transition? I'm not going to answer those questions with simple answers, but I am here as your pastor and spiritual leader to make space or create opportunities for us to explore these questions together and wonder together the recent history and changes in this faith community. I imagine you feel like you've already been through so much, so many changes with all these transitions in pastoral leadership. And you, as a flock, want a steady and settled leader. And here I am, as your intentional transitional leader, talking about change and transformation when you may be feeling you've had enough of that. I don't blame you. I don't blame you for feeling tired and maybe even resistant to change. And I want to reassure you of something. My goal is not to change you. I respect and want to honor Zion's traditions, customs, and heritage. I want to learn your culture and your ways of being church. I want to know what you value as a community and where you have been. I want to hear your stories and your worries. I want to provide space for you to share with each other the stories of how you have arrived to this point. In many ways, I want to provide a sheepfold, a container where you can rest and reflect on the journey you have been through together and where would you like to go together. All the great stories of the world can be grouped into two categories. Stories that show us that life is a journey, and stories that show us that life is a struggle. When you think about it, much of our life can be grouped into those two categories. Sometimes our life is a journey, an adventure. When we get a new job, move to a new community, fall in love, start college, start having a family. Life offers many adventures. But at other times, life is a challenge or a struggle, like when we get sick, when relationships end, when we lose a job or loved ones, or when our crops don't grow well. We face any number of trials in life that take us from the adventure of life and make it hard just to get through the day. We may find solace in reading the Bible of our spiritual ancestors who are either living the adventures of the faith or facing life's inevitable struggles. But here's my point. When life is more like a journey, we need a shepherd who will lead us into the unknown, who will be our guide on this adventure. And when life is more like a struggle, we need a shepherd who will stand with us and protect us from danger. And Jesus promises to be both. He is our shepherd, and he is our gate. He leads us on this journey through life, and he stays with us when life becomes a struggle. Just as a shepherd ensures the safety and sustenance of his flock, Jesus provides spiritual nourishment and protection. He leads us to green pastures and still waters, restoring our souls and guiding us along the path of righteousness. His presence assures us that even in the darkest valleys, we need not fear, for he is with us. Every day, Jesus surrounds us with opportunities, with challenges, with difficulties, with decisions, and with grace. Even more, he wants us to live our life to the fullest. Although we are not perfect people, we can still have an abundant life. I want to reassure you, Jesus will not desert us. He is and will always be with us. He comforts us. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been adopted into the family of faith. Our prayers are heard. We will have help for our struggles. He will lead us in times of transition, even when we have no earthly leader or a settled pastor yet. All we have to do is trust and believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Chapter 10 in John is about life. Life that pushes across boundaries and uncertain times. Life that flourishes in precarious places. Life that never denies the real threat of thieves and bandits and wolves. And yet, it holds out the possibility of pasture, of nourishment and protection and rest. Life that preserves and perseveres and maybe even thrives in the valley of the shadow of death. The bread of life that says, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." At the same time, we as followers of Jesus are called to be shepherds and witnesses of God's love. The love that sustains us and the world. It also protects us and suffers with us. We are called to show that love. That love encourages us to care for others, especially those who are suffering and marginalized. It calls on us to move from words to action. We are to care for others as God has cared for us. We are to work for their safety and security. We are called to continue Jesus' work here on earth as it is in heaven. We are called on to be shepherds, witnesses of God's love and grace. And when we do, we honor the Good Shepherd who leads us and cares for us. Jesus said, "Whoever enters by me will be saved, and you will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." These are our words of reassurance. Whether life feels like a journey or a challenge, Jesus promises to be there for us. He is our shepherd and our gate, today, tomorrow, and always. He is in charge of building his church, this church. And he is most concerned about caring for his sheep, which includes us. It is reassuring thought that Jesus desires to lead us, to guide us, to care for us, to protect us, and to give us life abundantly. May all of God's sheep find comfort in these words today, and may we hear these words as an invitation to come to the sheepfold, to find life, to find the pasture that only Jesus gives, of our good shepherd and our gate can offer. Thanks be to God. May it be so. Amen. Please sing along. We're going to play a song, a new song, and the words are on the screen, so please sing along.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death to is my shepherd, so nothing shall I want. I rest in the meadows of faithfulness and love. I walk by the quiet waters of peace. Gently you raise me and heal my weary soul. Lead me by pathways of righteousness and truth. My spirit shall sing the music of your name. Oh, I should wander the valley of death. I fear no evil, for you are at my side. Your rod and your staff, my comfort and my hope. You have set me a banquet of love in the face of hatred, crowning me with love beyond. And mercy follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of my God forevermore. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my life.
Thanks for trying a new song. We'll sing it again next week. I think it's a beautiful one. Community of faith, let us hold true to the ethos of the early church and hold all things in common. Let us share our abundance to enjoy shared life, to meet the needs among us, and to demonstrate our commitment to the kingdom of God. please join me in the prayer of dedication. Generous God, may these gifts bless our life together, fortify our ministry, and transform our community. Receive them as we give them with gladness and thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord is here.
God's Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Holy God, planter of green pastures where we are fed, creator of waters which nourish us forever, shaper of paths which lead us into your presence, all that you made is beautiful and good. You continually seek us, searching for ways to connect us and connect us with to bring us home to your kingdom. God, your invitation to come and feast is but a taste of the love you extend to us every day. By your grace, we come to recognize the holiness that dwells in the world around us, in our neighbors, and in us. Therefore, we join our voices with your people of earth and all the company of the heavens, singing praises to you. Holy, holy, holy one, God of justice and love, heaven and earth are full of your wonder. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna among us. Hosanna to the highest. Blessed are you and blessed is your expansive table. You welcome all who thirst for justice and hunger to grow in love. You ask us to extend this same welcome to all our neighbors. But God, since our beginning, we have struggled. And so in your love for us, you took on flesh in Jesus. Through his life, you pointed to your presence on the margins. You revealed the sacredness of all life. You showed us how to live together, even among forces of destruction. Believing it could transform the world, Jesus proclaimed the good news. He called for the captives to be set free. He spoke of the lowly being lifted up. He talked about redistribution of wealth and eradicating the causes of poverty. His commitment to practicing love knew no bounds, not even the bounds of death. Accept our praises, gracious God, as we follow his example and obey his command. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who on the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his companions. Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
To God be glory and praise forever.
After the meal, he took the cup and he blessed it, sharing it and saying, "This cup that is poured out is the new covenant. In remembrance of all have done to save us, we proclaim the mystery of our faith." I made the bread. It's gluten-free and still warm. Unfortunately, I didn't let it sit twice. You know, you have to let it rise twice, so it's a little thicker than usual, but it smells really good. Okay. "Therefore, pour out your spirit on these gifts, O God. Make these ordinary elements into the sacred gift of your presence with us once again. May these awaken in us anew to your everlasting invitation into the life of resurrection, enlivening us in our pursuit of a world where all needs are met, power is balanced, and the worth of every creature and creation is celebrated. In collective longing for a taste of your kingdom on earth, we join together, echoing the prayers that Jesus taught us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, in the center aisle, the ushers will invite you to receive the elements. You have the option of a wafer or gluten-free bread. Come forward to the altar to receive the bread and cup. You may eat the bread individually as you receive it, reflecting on its significance. This act is a time of personal reflection on Christ's sacrifice. Hold on to the cup and we will partake that together. And then you will leave the cup in the front of your pew. Come to the table. The table has been set. All are welcome. of the covenant. Living presence, by the bread of heaven and the cup of life, you make us one body. Bind us together by your Spirit, that we may live in your hopes for us, a community centered in Christ, rich in compassion, commitment, courage, and care. May it be so. Amen. Please join me for the closing prayer. Gracious God, in deep gratitude for our time together, for the bread and the cup, and for the people around us, we rededicate ourselves to you. Let us depart from this place as resurrected people who walk with Christ and are the body of Christ. Restore in us our passion for serving you and all your creation. In your many names we pray. Amen. Please join us for the closing hymn, God Be With You.